truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Truth Be Told. Today, I have a very exciting guest. He's an author, a podcaster, and a former professional wrestling booker for WCW, WWE, and TNA. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce Vince Russo. Vince, how you doing, brother?
All right, James. What's going on, man?
Not too much, man. You know, I just enjoyed the holiday. How about you? How was your holiday?
Yeah, I had a good time, man. You know, anytime you could spend with family, get everybody together at one time is a good time, man. So it was good.
Hey, I can agree, man. That's what it's about anymore, family, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so let's get right into it, man.
Let's do it.
All right, so for those who don't know, you know, where were you born and raised, and how were you introduced to, you know, the wrestling world?
Oh man, I was born in Brooklyn, but I was raised on Long Island. Man, you know, bro, you know, back then you had your little black and white TV, you know, 13 inches. You had a couple of stations. You had UHF, and I actually was just looking for something to watch. The first time I came across the WWWF, it was actually on UHF. And I remember just stumbling across it. I was probably, I don't know, maybe 10. The first thing I saw on the screen was Captain Lou Albano and the Valiant Brothers. And they were larger than life characters. They were entertaining as hell. I knew it was entertainment and a different form of entertainment. And, you know, I became a fan.
You ended up getting a degree in journalism from Indiana State University and ended up working for The Shield as an editor-in-chief. So, you know, not so much a background in wrestling, but was it always, you know, you were always trying to get a career in wrestling, or did you have other career goals?
Oh, no, I didn't want a career. Listen, bro, I was not a wrestling mark at any time in my life, ever, ever, ever. I mean, I enjoyed wrestling like I enjoyed the Beatles, like I enjoyed baseball. I was not a wrestling mark. It wasn't even on my radar to get a job in the wrestling business. It was nothing I was thinking about. I wanted to be a writer. You know, I knew that, but I had no desire, ambitions whatsoever of getting in the wrestling business.
So soon after this, you got into Johnny Rods and Gleason's gym in Brooklyn. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, no, basically when I had a couple of video stores that I knew were going to be going out of business, I needed a job. This is where I met John Arezzi, who was doing a wrestling radio show. And I kind of partnered up with John because I needed a job, period. At that point I was like, let me try this wrestling business and maybe I could do something with this. And I wanted to learn every aspect of the business. I wanted to know what I was getting into. And that's why I went to Rods' school, man. I went to Rods' school just to get an education and find out everything I could about the wrestling business.
And soon after, Vicious Vincent's World of Wrestling came about. Whose idea was it for that?
Oh, that was definitely mine. And again, it was playing off of the entertainment aspect of wrestling. This wasn't a Mark show. This wasn't a Meltzer show. This wasn't a Keller show. I was in character. The rest of my crew was in character. And we just put on an entertaining wrestling show based on what was happening on TV.
So how intimidating was it to go from, you know, something smaller like that to writing for the McMahons and meeting them eventually?
Yeah, bro, it was always just the job to me, man. I think that's where people like are just way, way off base, you know, about me. It was a job. I mean, that's all it was, bro. I wasn't a wrestling mark. It wasn't my dream job. Bro, no doubt about, bro, if I could have had a dream job, I would have been working in MLB. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, I would have been working in baseball. I would have been working for the San Francisco Giants. I mean, that would have been a dream job. Working on the radio would have been a dream job. I love doing radio. To this day, I'm still trying to do radio here in Colorado. Those were things I wanted to do. Bro, it was a job, and I approached it as a job. I was never a mark. I was never in awe of Vince McMahon. I was never intimidated by Vince McMahon. I mean, he was my boss, and I think that was a part of why I was successful, because, you know, I treated it as a job and him as my boss, and it is a business, and I was not marking out for it like, you know, some obsessed fan.
I think one thing I appreciated when you were in creative is that you were able to get a lot of, like, you know, the lower and mid-card characters involved, which is like in TV, you don't see it as much. It's usually like the main guys, and then there's no storylines for like the low and mid-carders. Do you think that's a problem in wrestling today?
Oh, absolutely. Bro, they can't get the top guys over, let alone the mid-card guys, you know, so they have problems getting the Fiend over, for crying out loud. So, yeah, bro, it's a big problem in wrestling today, man. There is an art to getting people over. There is a formula to getting people over. There are certain things that you have to do, and a lot of that's missing today.
Now, I got to ask you, how did the infamous Bra for All come about, and why do you think it didn't work?
Well, when you say didn't work, like, what are you basing that on?
I guess fan reaction.
Well, you're talking Mark reaction. So, yeah. So I got to agree with you there, didn't work, because it did not hurt the ratings. You know, if it had hurt the ratings, I would have said it didn't work. It didn't have a negative effect on the ratings. So I wouldn't agree with you that it didn't work. Did the marks not like it? Probably not, but like, who cares? You know, bro, it was just, you know, I was in the back having a conversation with Kevin Kelly and JBL. And, you know, JBL was somewhat of a bully, and JBL made the comment that if this shit were real, I would kick everybody's ass. And I was like, you know, oh really? And because I knew he wouldn't. You know, I knew there were a lot of tough guys in that locker room. So, you know, based off that conversation, I pitched the idea to Vince. And that's kind of how the Brawl for All was born.
And I think didn't Bart Gunn end up went the farthest, didn't he?
He won it. Yeah, he knocked everybody out. Yeah.
Was that something you saw coming on the scene?
No, never. But man, he was a killer in that thing, man. No doubt about it.
He definitely was. I had a PCO on more recently, and he said that he remembered his time in the Brawl for All tournament, but he said he didn't do too well.
I remember him being in it. Yeah, I do.
So not so long after you made it to WCW, I really want to know, what was the difference between the locker room and WWF to when you went to WCW? What was the difference?
Oh, God, bro. It was night and day. It was like a family environment at the WWE, because we were so successful and we were on top. And the minute I walked into a WCW locker room, it was clearly divided. You know, you had the top stars, the prima donnas, dressing in one locker room. You had everybody on the other card dressing in another locker room. The veterans didn't want to put the younger guys over. It was a completely, completely different environment.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about getting like the lower and mid-card guys over, especially when you went to WCW, like Juventud Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, and Conan. Do you think you played a big part in, you know, littler guys getting taken more seriously like in the 90s?
Well, yeah, but not in WCW because I didn't have enough time to. I mean, I would have done so much more than I did. But yeah, man, in my opinion, if your name was on that roster, then it was my job to get you over to the best of my abilities. I don't care whether you were a top guy or a bottom guy or first match or main event. If your name was on that roster, part of my job was to help get you over to the best of my ability.
Now, speaking of that, the New Blood versus the Millionaires Club, an angle which I actually really enjoyed. Why do you think people are so sour on that angle after all these years?
Because, bro, you got we got to differentiate. When you say people, just say marks. Because you're not talking about people. You're talking about the marks. Bro, the casual audience that wrestling drew back there, those millions and millions and millions of people, they are not on social media and they are not on the internet every day talking about wrestling. So when you're talking about, you know, the internet and social media and the dirt sheet, you're not talking about people, you're talking about marks. And marks somewhere along the line, bro, I don't know how. It's a great mystery to me. They've convinced themselves that wrestling is real. So they don't like entertainment. They don't want entertainment. They want match after match after match after match. Meanwhile, nobody's winning these matches. It is predetermined on who's going over.
But they take it personally, yeah.
Yeah, they've convinced themselves that these matches are real. And when you do anything that's entertainment, they shit on it. And that's why, you know, they've shitted on me my entire life, because the way I wrote was entertainment based and it drew millions and millions and millions of people, because there is only a very, very, very small portion of people out there that actually like the matches.
I still think you hold one of the best underrated promos of all time when you went off on Hogan at Bash at the Beach. There, I mean, there was real tension there at the time, wasn't there?
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, there definitely was real tension, and I always played off of real tension, man. I wanted the people to believe, you know, what was happening was real. So like, I always played off of, you know, the real tension at the time.
Speaking of tension, in 2002, I think it was reported you were close to returning to WWE, but ended up going to TNA instead. What led to that decision, and why didn't it work out with WWE at the time?
Because from the time I had left, which was probably September of 99, till this time, the company had dramatically changed. You know, all of a sudden there's 20 writers. You know, and it was very, very political. It was a completely different environment. Stephanie McMahon was now head of creative. Paul Heyman was involved in the process. It was a completely different animal, and I would not have been successful in that structure.
And working with TNA, what was the difference between, you know, doing creative at TNA as opposed to WCW and WWE?
Oh, man, there were a lot of differences. I mean, one thing that people don't understand is money and finances. You know, as a writer, you could do anything at the WWE, anything. You want to fill a sports car with cement, you're going to fill a sports car with cement. You want to buy a tank to drive up to WCW. As a writer, you could write anything and it would happen. At TNA, it was completely different. Everything was driven by a budget because they had no money. So as a writer, you were just really very, very limited to the things that you could do. So you could not express the creative, or I could not express the creative that I was able to express at WWE, because they just didn't have the money to do it.
And I feel at that time, their X division, when you were there the first time, at least, their X division was pretty exciting with AJ Styles, you know, Christopher Daniels and guys like that.
Yeah, no, there were a lot of guys. There were a lot of guys coming up. And that's really, I think, you know, when that style was really, you know, kind of, you know, gaining some legs, at least here in the United States.
And I got a question. So if you had an opportunity to work for any of the wrestling companies right now, you know, and have any control you wanted, which company would you choose and why?
Bro, I'll be honest with you. None. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Thank God. I mean, bro, the podcasting, you know, is, you know, you know, we have more subscribers and viewers and listeners than we've ever had before. I've spent 5 years every single day of building, you know, russosbrand.com. I don't want to. I honestly don't want to. Now, would I consult? Would I give advice? Yeah, I have no problem doing that whatsoever. If I could help, you know, in any way, that's cool. Bro, I have no desire going back working for anybody. So I don't even think about stuff like that, bro, because it's just not what I want to do at this point in my life.
And you know, I kind of like how you brought that up, because I wanted you to kind of explain to people what the Russo brand is and more about the podcast you're doing, so they know where to find it.
Oh yeah, bro. We podcast every single day, bro. And we have kind of two platforms. We have Russo's brand, you know, that is on the Realm Network. You go to russosbrand.com. You could sign up, bro. It's less than $1 a week. You know, we have people on there that have been there and done that, from the Disco Inferno to Stevie Richards to Shane Douglas to Ben Amin to Big Vito LaGrasso, you know, Goldilocks, who was the original, you know, backstage, you know, reporter at TNA. So, you know, we have a lot of people that have been in the industry. We do a different show every single week. And then over on Patreon, we have other shows, and that's patreon.com/RussoTWC. I do a show with my son, Will. I do an AEW review with Justin Credible. You know, Vic Venom from WWE is over there on Patreon. And, you know, like I said, bro, I've spent 5 years building a brand every single day, and it's doing really, really, really well. And that's where all my focus is, man.
Vince, you know, man, you've been such a great guest. You know, you're a humble guy, a polarizing figure in wrestling for sure to me. I love that you have passion. I'm passionate about podcasting as well. I'd like it, you know, if you want at this time to like kind of give people your social medias or where they can get a hold of you at to talk to you or message you.
Yeah, guys, if you want to really check out, you know, like I said, we're on the Realm Network and we're also on Patreon. Just go to Russo's, R-U-S-S-O-S, russosbrand.com. You could sign up to the Realm Network. Like I said, Patreon is patreon.com/RussoTWC. I am on Twitch all the time, bro. I'm always going one-on-one with our listeners and subscribers, and that's at twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive. Bro, we got a YouTube channel where there's a ton of, you know, free material, and I'm also on Twitter. I'm on Twitter every day at TheVinceRusso. So you guys should check it out, man. You know, this is one of the few networks. There's no agenda. I'm not kissing anybody's ass because I'm not looking for a job. I don't want a job. So I can go on every day and speak freely about how I really, really, really feel about things. And I mean, it is the greatest gift to me. No politics, no BS, no, I got to watch what I say. And if you guys really want honesty when it comes to the wrestling business, I mean, you know, man, just go to russosbrand.com.
Yeah, and you know, it's nice that I have to peek over your shoulder, you know, after you say something.
Absolutely, man, 100%.
And you know what? Now you guys have no excuse not to know where to find them. And of course, I'm your host, James E. Turner Jr. You can find me on Twitter at JP'sAllDay1990. Vince, man, thank you again for coming on the show. I appreciate you.
All right, James, no problem. I appreciate you having me, my friend.
All right, brother, you take care. And everybody, make sure to tune in next week.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain. Young G1.